Everybody, my name is Lisa, and welcome to By the Lyric, the show where we take songs and we observe their lyrics and kind of try to understand exactly where the inspiration came from and what they mean. So today's song is Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille. So just a little bit of background on the song before we take our first listen. Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith, was inspired by Perry Smith, who is a convicted and executed for a 1959 quadruple murder during a home invasion in Kansas. Perry Smith and Richard Hickok murdered four members of the Clutter family in Holcomb, Texas, in November 1959. The family was widely respected and were successful farmers. A former farmhand told Hickok that the family had a safe containing $10,000, leading the men to target the family. On the night of the robbery, the men found little cash or items of value in the Clutter home and fled, killing all witnesses, Herbert and Bonnie Clutter, and their children Nancy, 16, and Kenyon, 15. The family was survived by the two eldest daughters who lived away from home at the time. Capote wrote about Smith's impression of Herbert Clutter in a book called In Cold Blood. He said that Smith said, "I didn't want to harm the man. I thought he was a very nice gentleman, soft-spoken. I thought so right up to the moment I cut his throat." Complementary to Perry Smith's case, the song muses on capital punishment, where a prisoner is executed in punishment for their crimes. The United Nations opposes capital punishment, and in Bastille's home country, the United Kingdom, the practice was abolished in 1998. In contrast, the United States is the only Western country that still uses capital punishment and has worked to increase the efficiency of it by developing a lethal injection method. When questioned by a fan prior to the album release, Dan suggested reading the nonfiction novel In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. In Cold Blood is a true crime bestseller adapted from the real murders. So it was a tweet interaction, and the fan tweeted, "Which one is the song about capital punishment?" To which frontman Dan replied, "Four Walls, read In Cold Blood." Prior to the album's release, Dan described Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith, as the most depressing song on the album. During the band's stop in Boston on their Wild World tour, Dan said this before they performed the song. "You probably haven't realized that we have quite a lot of incredibly depressing songs. So sorry about that. A lot of them, even if you thought they were upbeat and hadn't been listening properly, they're actually just depressing anyway. But anyway, this next song is just straight up, balls out, really depressing. Probably the most depressing thing we've ever done. So I hope you enjoy that, to pump you up this Monday evening. Will Fargausen, he's there, and a guitarist of Bastille, the Will. He got his first guitar solo, guys. So just when you're at your most depressed, he'll come in and lift your mood with a wonderful, very extended guitar solo. So enjoy that, enjoy that." Here is our first listen of Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille. So that was our first listen of Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille. So jumping in right into the first verse, the words go, "These four walls to keep you, one floor to sleep upon, and only these four walls to keep you." Smith and Hickok were captured after a six-week manhunt on December 30th, 1959. They remained imprisoned on death row at Kansas State Penitentiary for 5 years until their execution by hanging on April 14th, 1965. So in this sense, the four walls and one floor is referring to a prison cell. "These four walls contain you, supposed to save you from yourself, and these four walls in Holcomb to keep you from the sun." Prison cells are designed to prevent prisoners self-harming or killing themselves, usually to escape the course of justice and long imprisonments. It also protects prisoners from themselves if they are mentally ill. For example, there are no ways to self-harm even if you wanted to. Herb Clutter was a prosperous farmer in western Kansas. Just a little bit of background on the case of the Clutter murders in Holcomb, Texas. So Herb Clutter was a prosperous farmer in western Kansas. He employed as many as 18 farmhands who admired and respected him for his fair treatment and good wages. two elder daughters, Ivana and Beverly, had moved out and started their adult lives. Nancy, 16, and Kenyon, 15, were in high school. Clutter's wife, Bonnie, had reportedly been incapacitated by clinical depression and physical ailments since the births of her children, although this was later disputed. Two ex-convicts recently paroled from the Kansas State Penitentiary, Richard Eugene Dick Hickok and Perry Edward Smith, committed the robbery and murders in the early morning hours of November 15, 1959. A former cellmate of Hickok's, Floyd Wells, had worked for Herb Clutter and told Hickok that Clutter kept large amounts of cash in a safe. Hickok soon hatched the idea to steal the safe and start a new life in Mexico. According to Capote, Hickok described his plan as a kinch, the perfect score. Hickok later contacted Smith, another former cellmate, about committing the robbery with him. In fact, Herb Clutter had no safe and did all his business by check. After driving more than 400 miles across the state of Kansas, on the evening of November 14th, Hickok and Smith arrived in Holcomb, located the Clutter home, and entered through an unlocked door while the family slept. Upon arousing the Clutters and discovering there was no safe, they bound and gagged the family and continued to search for money, but found little else in value in the house. Still determined to leave no witnesses, the pair briefly debated what to do. Smith, notoriously unstable and prone to violent acts and fits of rage, slit Herb Clutter's throat and then shot him in the head. Capote writes that Smith recounted later, "I didn't want to harm the man. I thought he was a very nice gentleman, soft-spoken. I thought so right up to the moment I cut his throat." Kenyon, Nancy, and then Mrs. Clutter were also murdered, each by a single shotgun blast to the head. Hickok and Smith left the crime scene with a small portable radio, a pair of binoculars, and less than $50 in cash. Smith later claimed in his oral confession that Hickok murdered the two women. When asked to sign his confession, however, Smith refused. According to Capote, he wanted to accept responsibility for all four killings because he said he was sorry for Dick's mother. Smith added, "She's a real sweet person." Hickok always maintained that Smith committed all four killings. On the basis of a tip from Wells, who contacted the prison warden after hearing of the murders, Hickok and Smith were identified as suspects and arrested in Las Vegas on December 30, 1959. Both men eventually confessed after interrogations by detectives of the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. They were brought back to Kansas, where they were tried together for the murders. Their trial took place at the Finney County Courthouse in Garden City, Kansas, from March 22nd to March 29th, 1960. They both pleaded temporary insanity at the trial, but local GPs evaluated the accused and pronounced them sane. The jury deliberated for only 45 minutes before finding both Hickok and Smith guilty of murder. Their conviction carried a mandatory death sentence at the time. After 5 years on death row at the Kansas State Penitentiary, now known as Lansing Correctional Facility in Lansing, Kansas, Smith and Hickok were executed by hanging just after midnight on April 14, 1965. Hickok was executed first and was pronounced dead at 12:41 a.m. after hanging for nearly 20 minutes. Smith followed shortly after and was pronounced dead at 1:19 a.m. Warden official Greg Seaman presided over the executions in Lansing. The gallows used in their executions now forms part of the collections of the Kansas State Historical Society. Hickok and Smith are also suspected of involvement in the Walker family murders, a notion which is mentioned in the book, though this connection has never been proven. Welcome back to By the Lyric. So for those of you that are just joining us today, we are looking at Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille, and we've just gone through the first two verses. Again, this song is inspired by Perry Smith, who was convicted and executed for the murders of the Clutter family in Holcomb, Kansas in 1965. So now we are at the pre-chorus, and the pre-chorus goes, "And now we're faced with two wrongs. Now we're faced with two wrongs. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Now we're faced with two wrongs. Now we're faced with two wrongs. Oh, I don't know. So frontman Dan here is acknowledging his conflicting feelings on capital punishment. While he agrees that they have done wrong, he isn't comfortable with condemning prisoners to death. He references the proverb of two wrongs don't make a right. The phrase is used to emphasize that punishing someone's wrongdoing with further wrongdoing is not appropriate. This is an explicit reference to the death penalty, which can be considered a state-sanctioned murder. Prisoners are executed in retribution for their crimes. So the chorus goes, "We could be born to do anything, and now, what you have done is terrible." Frontman Dan is referencing the classic psychological debate of nature versus nurture. Was Perry Smith born as a killer, or did he become a killer because of the environment he was born to? Smith's father physically abused his wife and children until she left him, and then his alcoholic mother raised them until her suicide when Perry was 13. Thereafter, he and his siblings grew up in orphanages, where he was also allegedly abused. Two of his three siblings also committed suicide. Is it any wonder that Perry Smith turned to a life of crime, which culminated in the Clutter homicide? Was Perry Smith born to it? Can society punish an adult for the crime of being born poor and downtrodden? This is one of the ethical dilemmas raised by Truman Capote's complex recounting of the case in his book titled In Cold Blood, and is clearly reflected in Bastille's song Four Walls. Now what? Now what? And the following part of the chorus goes, "And now you, and now you, now you carry it with you, you carry it with you, you carry it with you." The crime and harm Perry Smith had done to not only the four people in the house, but those who knew and loved them is carried on his name even to this day after his death. While imprisoned, Perry Smith had to deal with the death of innocence on his conscience rather than the immediate release of death as sentenced. His guilty conscience is a focus of the book In Cold Blood. Here is an excerpt from the book so that you can gain a little bit more of a sense of the way that it is written, and maybe if you are interested in reading, it might give you a little bit of a snippet of how it's written. Dewey says, "But you hadn't taped their mouths." "No, the taping came later, after I tried both the women in their bedrooms." Mrs. Clutter was still crying. At the same time, she was asking me about Dick. She didn't trust him, but she said she felt I was a decent young man. "I'm sure you are," she says, and made me promise I wouldn't let Dick hurt anybody. I think what she really had in mind was her daughter. I was worried about that myself. I suspected Dick was plotting something, something I wouldn't stand for. When I finished tying Mrs. Clutter, sure enough, I found he'd taken the girl to her bedroom. She was in the bed, and he was sitting on the edge of it, talking to her. I stopped that. I told him to go look for the safe while I tied her up. After he'd gone, I roped her feet together and tied her hands behind her back. Then I pulled up the covers, tucked her in till just her head showed. There was a little easy chair near the bed, and I thought I'd rest a minute. My legs were on fire, all that climbing and kneeling. I asked Nancy if she had a boyfriend. She said yes, she did. She was trying hard to act casual and friendly. I really liked her. She was really nice. A very pretty girl, and not spoiled or anything. She told me quite a lot about herself. About school, about how she was going to go to a university to study music and art. Horses. She said next to dancing, what she liked best was to gallop a horse. So I mentioned my mother had been a champion rodeo rider. And we talked about Dick. I was curious to see what he'd been saying to her. Seems she'd ask him why he did things like this. Rob people. And wow, did he toss her a tearjerker. Said he'd been raised an orphan in an orphanage and how nobody ever loved him and his only relative was a sister who lived with men without marrying them. All the time we were talking, we could hear the lunatic roaming around below, looking for the safe, looking behind pictures, tapping the walls, tap, 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 like some nutty woodpecker. When he came back, just to be real, I asked, had he found it? Of course he hadn't, but he said he'd come across another purse in the kitchen, with $7. Dunce says, "And when did you do the taping?" "Right then. Started with Miss Clutter. I made Dick help me because I didn't want to leave him alone with the girl. I cut the tape in long strips, and Dick wrapped them around Mrs. Clutter's head like you'd wrap a mummy. He asked her, 'How come you keep on crying? Nobody's hurting you.' And he turned off the bedside lamp and said, 'Good night, Mrs. Clutter. Go to sleep.' Then he says to me as we're heading along the hall toward Nancy's room, I'm going to bust that little girl. And I said, uh-uh, but you'll have to kill me first. He looked like he didn't believe he'd heard right. He says, what do you care? Hell, you can bust her too. Now that's something I despise. Anybody that can't control themselves sexually. Christ, I hate that kind of stuff. I told him straight, leave her alone, else you've got a buzzsaw to fight. That really burned him, but he realized it wasn't the time to have a flat-out free-for-all. So he says, okay, honey, if that's the way you feel. The end of it was we never even taped her. We switched off the hall light and went down to the basement. Perry hesitates. He has a question, but phrases it as a statement. I bet he never said anything about wanting to rape the girl. Dewey admits it, but he adds that, except for an apparently somewhat expurgated version of his own conduct, Hycock's story supports Smith's. The details vary, the dialogue is not identical, but in substance, the two accounts, thus far at least, corroborate one another. All right, welcome back. So for those of you that are just joining us, this is By the Lyric, and today we are looking at Four Walls, The Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille, which was inspired by the conviction and execution of Perry Smith and Richard Hycock in relation to the Clutter Murders in Holcomb, Kansas in 1965. So we've already gone through the first verses and the pre-chorus and chorus, and now we are on to the last verse. So the last verse goes, these four walls will keep you until you face the rope. You've only these four walls before they, in cold blood, hang you up. In cold blood is a phrase used to convey killing without mercy. It is more accurately used to refer to the deaths of the Clutter family, innocents who were slaughtered during a robbery. In terms of the death penalty, it is debatable whether long-term imprisonment or death is more merciful. As we know, the Truman Capote novel, which focused on the Clutter family murders and the psyche of both murderers, Richard Dick Hycock and Perry Smith, during their trial and imprisonment before execution. The novel is based on real events, but it is written as if it were a fiction novel, as heard earlier. This formula resulted in huge success for Capote. However, the psychological impact of investigating the murders led Capote to substance abuse. In Cold Blood remains a best-selling novel and hallmark of the true crime genre. A little bit more about the book, in case you are interested in reading it. Again, In Cold Blood is a non-fiction novel by American author Truman Capote, first published in 1966. It details the 1959 murders of four members of the Herbert Clutter family in the small farming community of Holcomb, Kansas. When Capote learned of the quadruple murder before the killers were captured, he decided to travel to Kansas and write about the crime. He was accompanied by his childhood friend and fellow author Harper Lee, and together they interviewed local residents and investigators assigned to the case and took thousands of pages of notes. The killers, Richard Dick Hycock and Perry Smith, were arrested 6 weeks after the murders and later executed by the state of Kansas. Capote ultimately spent 6 years working on the book. When finally published, In Cold Blood was an instant success, and today is the second biggest selling true crime book in publishing history, behind Vincent Bugliosi's 1974 book Helter Skelter about the Charles Manson murders. Some critics consider Capote's work the original nonfiction novel, though other writers had already explored the genre, such as Rodolfo Walsh in Operation Massacre in 1957. In Cold Blood has been lauded for its eloquent prose, extensive detail, and simultaneous triple narrative, which describes the lives of the murderers, the victims, and other members of the rural community in alternating sequences. The psychologies and backgrounds of Hycock and Smith are given special attention, as well as the complex relationship that existed between them during and after the murders. In Cold Blood is regarded by critics as a pioneering work in the true crime genre, though Capote was disappointed that the book failed to win the Pulitzer Prize. Before reading, it is also important to note that parts of the book, including important details, differ from the real events.
Forgive me, Father, for I have seen so much pain and suffering. Is there any hope for me?
All right, welcome back to By the Lyric. For those of you that are just joining us, we are taking a look at Four Walls, the Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille, which was inspired by the book In Cold Blood, which is about the murders of the Clutter family by convicted and executed robbers, Hickok and Perry Smith. So we've gotten to the bridge. So the bridge goes, "There's no view from here, no view from here, no view from here. All you see is the sky, clouds passing by, clouds passing by." In the book, In Cold Blood, Truman Capote mentions that Perry can see just a small sliver of the sky through the gate in his cell on death row, a tiny bit of gray sky in between two other prison buildings. A stanza of Oscar Wilde's poem, The Ballad of Reading Gaol, from 1897, is similar to the bridge. I'm going to read not just one stanza, but a little bit of an excerpt so you guys understand the relevance of this poem to this song. So the poem starts off, "He did not wear his scarlet coat, for blood and wine are red, and blood and wine were on his hands when they found him with the dead, the poor dead woman whom he loved and murdered in her bed. He walked amongst the trial men in a suit of shabby gray. A crooked cap was on his head, and his step seemed light and gay. But I never saw a man who looked so wistfully at the day. I never saw a man who looked with such a wistful eye upon that little tent of blue which prisoners call the sky, and at every drifting cloud that went with sails of silver by. I walked with other souls in pain within another ring, and was wondering if the man had done a great or little thing, when a voice behind me whispered low, 'That fellow's got to swing.' Dear Christ, the very prison walls suddenly seemed too real, and the sky above my head became like a cask of scorching steel. And though I was a soul in pain, my pain I could not feel. I only knew what hunted thought quickened his step, and why he looked upon the garish day with such a wistful eye. The man had killed the thing he loved, and so he had to die. Yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword. Some kill their love when they are young, and some when they are old. Some strangle with the hands of lust, some with the hands of gold. The kindest use a knife, because the dead so soon grow cold. Some love too little, some too long, some sell and others buy. Some do the deed with many tears, and some without a sigh. For each man kills the thing he loves, yet each man does not die." Both poem and song explore the same thoughts on capital punishment and prisoners awaiting their deaths. Alright, welcome to Back the Lyric. Welcome back. And we are just getting to the end of our show here. The only thing that is left for us to look at is the outro, which is a recording, two recordings actually. So the first recording is, this is a collect call from Kansas State Penitentiary. And the second recording is, being brought up one way and trying to see another way is very difficult. So the second recording is an extract from the short film Changing from 1971, which was also sampled in Fake It. So The Social Seminar is a series of educational films for adults produced by the Extension Media Center of the University of California at Los Angeles in the early 1970s. The series was executive produced by Gary Schlosser, an Oscar-nominated producer of short subject documentaries. The films were distributed nationally, for example, to state educational film offices. The series was produced for the National Institute of Mental Health as a multimedia training series. There were 5 episodes of The Social Seminar, and those that are known to have been produced are titled Bunny, Guy, Teddy, Tom, and Changing. Each depicted in a cinema verite style, without voiceover or introduction. aspects of the lives of a selected person or family as they dealt with personal, interpersonal, and societal change. The episode Changing, for example, showed how one man's reevaluation of his life and social standing led to his becoming a hippie in the eyes of his family and coworkers. Though this home life was enhanced, he found himself increasingly socially isolated. The films are now part of the Prelinger archive and are available freely online. In June 2011, Changing was featured on the Turner Classic Movie Series TCM Underground. So here's just a little snippet of that recording that was sampled in the outro of the song, just so you guys kind of understand exactly what these educational films are like when you're watching them.
I honestly believe that if he would make an effort to be aware of what he is inside, to be sensitive to my feelings, to my needs, to Gina's feelings, and this will open a whole new world to anybody he comes in contact.
Anyway, so that was the excerpt that was taken in the outro of Four Walls by Bastille. So here is our last listen of Four Walls, The Ballad of Perry Smith by Bastille.